Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. He has slept with Marilyn Monroe. He hung out with the Rat Pack. He ran into Lee Harvey Oswald. He was in the Godfather movie. He took acting advice from Marlon Brando, singing advice from Frank Sinatra, various mob connections, may have killed a guy. And he's on the show right now. It's Mondays with Gianni. Gianni Russo, the original Hollywood Godfather and brand ambassador for Corleone Fine Italian Foods. Good morning and happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday!
What? Amen. Birthday. Thank you all. I love it. I love it.
How did you spend your birthday?
I can't tell you that, man.
That sounds like a good time.
I don't want to know.
It's like an X-rated show then.
Right. I know nothing.
With the kind of life that you've had, you must have had some amazing birthday parties. Does one come to mind?
Well, yeah, my 40th at State Street. I owned a nightclub in Vegas, and my whole staff surprised me for my 40th birthday, which is, 38 years ago? And Sinatra and everybody showed up. It was great.
Wow.
It was perfect.
That's...
But you mentioned all those guys that I know. You never mentioned Tom Cantone, our mutual friend.
That's right. I should have listed him first.
Right.
Tom Cantone, Mohegan Sun.
You know, it's so funny. Tom and I have been working since 1995 when he was working for Trump. He gave me my first headlining job.
Which hotel?
It's ironic right now, which it's only he can do this during a pandemic. And fortunately, they picked me also. Viacom, he's working with, you know, Lifetime Boxing. Showtime Boxing and the MMA basketball games on while nobody's doing nothing with a casino. And Viacom is promoting Corleone Italian Fine Foods with the Godfather Coda right now. We hit 600,000 households the other night. Ooh, I can't believe it.
Man,
that's amazing.
Big deal.
Wow.
Yeah. You got to go on. Listeners should go on, really. Go on to Corleone Fine Italian, our website. You won't believe what's going on. It's crazy.
So
it's great Christmas gifts, too. So.
Oh, yeah, and your book is nuts. Gino, who listens to the show, sent me an email. He said, I just started reading Gianni Russo's book. I can't put it down. This man led an intriguing life and was privy to some of the greatest events of the 20th century. You could have him on your show for the next 10 years with his stories. By the way, his birthday was December 12th. So,
you know, it's funny. I just completed the other night my 105th hour on my podcast. So you're right. I could stay on for a long time.
It's true.
So I'll do Mondays for the rest of the year.
Okay, good. Cool.
Excellent. So we were talking about how you got into The Godfather last week, and
right.
You negotiated that deal, and then you ended up with a very good role. You played Carlo, and if you're like Ashley. Let's talk about this for a second before we go into it.
Let's do this, yes.
No.
Ashley's from a nice Italian family, and she's never seen The Godfather.
Really?
I know, right?
I'm sorry.
Well, her father probably is very, very strict. He don't want her to see that kind of violence.
Well, when I was little, yeah, that was totally my dad. But
well, you have no excuse now. I want to quiz you next week.
Nice.
Okay.
If Johnny says so, you got to do so.
So here's the deal. We're on vacation for 2 weeks. So when we get back, Ashley, you have 2 weeks to watch the movie.
The first one, right?
Watch the first one.
Yeah, the first one, please. I have more scenes in the first one. I only have one scene. It's funny because I have one scene in Godfather 2 that paid me more than all the scenes I did in Godfather 1.
Really?
Well, you know, it's like everybody else was getting more money. I mean, I didn't make a lot of money in that movie. I only made $17,000 in, what was that, 1971. I didn't even want the money. I don't care about the money. It was just being in that movie.
Yeah.
And look where it's been now. I never made under $17,000 a year just in residuals for 48 years
Really?
Now.
Residuals?
Man.
So you're
it's
in
crazy.
This movie, and Ashley, you'll see the movie. You'll like it right from the beginning. It starts with a big Italian wedding.
It's his wedding, right?
It's his wedding. It's
exactly.
Your wedding.
Yep.
One of my favorite
so
weddings.
Um, So there's a great scene in the movie where Michael knows what you did, and he's sending you off to another place. And let me just play the audio here.
There's a car waiting for you outside. Take it to the airport. I'll call your wife. Tell her what flight you're on. Now get out of my sight.
There's a... Hold on 1 second. So there's a moment there, it was right before that part, where Michael hands you the tickets.
Right.
And Marlon Brando gave you some advice as to how to handle that scene.
Marlon Brando not only gave me advice, he showed up that day, and for your listeners who are not in the film business, he wasn't on the call sheet, so he comes walking on the set, and the director, Francis Ford Coppola, went crazy thinking that somebody made a mistake and put him on a call sheet because it wasn't working. And he saw them all scrambling. He said, calm down, calm down. I'm here to help that kid.
Nice. Wow.
And he taught me, Dick Smith used to take 3 hours a day to make Marlon Brando into Don Corleone. Dick Smith was his makeup man. And during that time, he'd have me in there doing my lines and working with me because he was so afraid because I never acted before and never studied acting. And he gave me all those little nuances. Like he said, when he hands you that ticket, you already read the script. You already know you're going to die and go through the windshield. But the audience doesn't know that. And then you're only going to be up on a 30-foot screen. So I said, well, how do I not relay that? He's, well, when they give you the ticket, look down, sneak a look, and make sure there's a ticket there. You're looking for any kind of comfort that maybe I'm really leaving, I'm going. Because you already know you're dying.
It's incredible.
And he gave me all these little things, even with the drink. He said, when he asks for a drink, push it up to his mouth because he's afraid to drink it even. And all those things, it was Brando. I mean, I didn't have to do any of that stuff. I would have been sitting there like an idiot. But and he came and he helped me. He was my friend until he died. You know, Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and I were responsible, finally, to get him into the hospital because he was 380 pounds.
Ooh, that's big.
I mean, he blew up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't realize the bad physical shape he was in. And he had a stomach bypass. And his body closed down, and he died in 4 days.
Ooh.
In fact, Michael called me up screaming because he was on the contact list at the hospital. And he said, we killed him, we killed him, we killed him. And I said, who we kill now? Because he's got that little girl voice of his screaming. So, and unfortunately, Brando died because of the bypass, but he was going to die anyway. He was my neighbor for years up in Mulholland. And my house was between his and Jack Nicholson.
Oh,
you can
God.
Imagine the chaos that was.
Really?
That's nuts.
Cool. Right, having those neighbors?
That's the most sought-after road to live on there.
Seriously, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Storied.
Well, so wait, you have Marlon Brando on one side and Jack Nicholson on the other side.
Right, yeah. It's crazy.
Okay.
But that's who, you know, I mean, I've owned so many houses, people thought I was in real estate for a while. But I have 10 mothers to my kids, so I had to buy them a house.
Right.
Wait, what?
I have 10 mothers to my kids.
How
I have 11 children.
11 kids,
wow.
10 mothers.
A lot of birthdays.
Right. Yeah, that's why when you say birthday, and I have 10 grandsons. I have 9 sons, 2 daughters, and 10 grandsons. I have 19 boys. Is that insane?
That's, wow, you have your own mob family there.
You do.
You know, it's funny. Somebody just asked me, said, we'd like to have you and your family come to our house. Just you and your family. I said, well, how big is your house? He said, why are you asking that? I said, well, there's 37 of us with the wives and the kids. And
yeah, you need a private bus.
They're like, okay, never mind.
You need a charter bus to bring them over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to go to a bank just to get enough money to buy everyone a Christmas gift.
Exactly.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah. Johnny Russo, the original Hollywood Godfather, has a podcast, has a book. He's the ambassador for Corleone Fine Italian Foods. We're linked up to all his stuff on the radio station website. And we were talking about your scene with Michael Corleone sending you off in The Godfather. And then
Sending me to Vegas. Remember, he said, Carlo, you're going to Vegas.
Right. And
the funniest thing I did, I went there for 30 years and created a kingdom.
That's true, yeah.
So you get in the car, and how did they choreograph this scene where they put, it looked like a piano wire around your neck and pulled you into the back seat?
Yeah, they call it a garrote. They created that in Sicily. Well, you know what that is? That's the wire that cuts the big forms of cheese, like the Reggiano cheese.
Yeah.
And they started using those to kill people, unfortunately. No, but, you know, the choreographing of that was pretty easy. The hardest thing was going through the windshield because the character Clemenza pulls me over the top of the seat in the passenger seat. And all I did was push my feet along the up on the floorboards to push myself over to help him. And then once I was resting my back on top of the seat, then I started kicking the window. But Francis wanted the authenticity of the old glass and that crunching. So we tried it a couple of times. And on that angle, it's very hard because your toes are hitting the windshield going a different angle. So then they scored it in the corners. And then that worked once they put lead soles in my shoes. They had shoes made that looked like leather, but they were lead in the tips of them to break it. And unfortunately, one take going down the road, I kicked the stunt driver.
Oops.
And fortunately, we had sandbags to stop the car because he was dazed. And we hit the sandbags, but that made me slide forward over the broken glass on the windshield and just tore up the back of my legs.
Oh, man.
But I was like, but they never thought of that. And, you know, how are you going to stop it? And again, between getting beat up, going through a windshield, I said, you know, I only want to do love scenes from now on.
Really?
Yeah, I don't blame
you. Crazy.
Were there any Carlo scenes that you guys filmed that didn't make the movie?
Oh, yeah, you're going to see them actually February 12th. 2022 is the 50th anniversary, and they've added a lot of, I heard there's like 37 more minutes. And as you know, the Godfather Coda is out right now.
What do you think of that?
I haven't seen it yet, but the good news for us, Viacom is promoting Corleone Fine Italian. And we call it that now because we've embellished our liquor line. We have a whole bootleg booze line now. And the company I'm with, MJ Licensing, we have all the digestibles of The Godfather forever, which is going worldwide now.
Nice.
But so it's I want to see it. I just need, you know, 3 hours to sit down and...
Yeah. What was your take on it when it came out?
You know, I never saw three. It's funny because I went through. I was supposed to be in Godfather 3, which I thought made more sense. Because when they brought me in for a rehearsal and a meeting on Godfather 3, the baby that we baptized, that Michael baptized for me, called Santino. I had the nerve to name my son Santino after having his brother killed. Mm-hmm. Well, that baby, basically, they had an idea of breaking him come back when Michael's getting all these accolades, and that baby's going to avenge his father's death because he knows his Uncle Michael killed his father, which I think makes a better storyline than, you know, Andy Garcia, who's Sonny's bastard son, trying to take over the family. But I don't know how that changed, but I was looking forward to coming back into three. But then it was such a disaster, I'm glad they didn't get the part.
You really dodged a bullet.
There was a lot of things going against it, and I think this...
Well, first of all, they wouldn't pay Robert Duvall what they paid Diane Keaton to come back for the third one. So he bailed out, and then put George Hamilton in to replace Robert Duvall, such a great actor. I mean, I love George, a good friend of mine, but... He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then Winona Ryder backed out, and he put Sofia Coppola in, which I thought she was good. Everybody panned it. I thought she was a good actress in it. But, you know, the whole movie. And then Pacino wanted out. and they were going to sue him. Oops. That's the only reason he stayed. That's why he was so miserable. It was great for the character because he was so miserable during Godfather 3.
That's
he
used
wasn't
it.
Acting. He yeah, just he used didn't it. Want to be there.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Because you feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He feels pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
for a different reason,
terrible.
Though.
We had a movie critic on last week. We have him on every week, and we were talking about Godfather Coda. And he said, well, it's going to be tough to make that movie good because Sofia Coppola was the worst part about that movie, and you can't cut her out. He said it was to a point where in the theater they would applaud when she died.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's a trivia question that you and your audience should use all the time. I use it, and I block everybody. Everybody says, oh, I know everything about The Godfather. I said, okay, who's the only female that played a male part and then in real life, later on, went on to win an Oscar, a female that played a male part in Godfather 1?
Oh,
does anybody
man.
Know the answer?
couldn't tell you.
Sofia Coppola. Sofia Coppola was the baby we baptized and as Santino Rizzi, my son.
Okay.
That was his baby. They just had the baby. So they used their own baby, but she was a girl, obviously.
Right.
And she went on later to win an Oscar for Lost in Translation as a director.
What a great trivia question.
It's
I would not have guessed that one.
Nope.
I want to talk to you about what happened at your place in Vegas where a guy ended up dead.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He ran into my gun.
Right. See, you should have avoided it. What's the matter with you?
So, hey, he may have killed a guy.
Maybe.
Gianni Russo's on the phone, and what a life this guy's had. Sinatra, Brando. He's been with Marilyn Monroe. He was in The Godfather. And he may have killed a guy. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. This was at your place in Vegas, right?
Yeah, Gianni Russo State Street. That was my second big club. I opened a club in Tropicana Hotel called Tiffany's that Elvis opened for me. And then years later, I opened up Gianni Russo State Street, which was a supper club and casino and dance hall. It was everything. It was perfect for me. And Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis opened that for me. So the place was a hit immediately. But I want to explain to your audience, I did kill the guy, but it was in self-defense, fortunately.
Yeah.
And he came in. He was a guest to Caesar's Palace. I used to have guests from all the different hotels because I served gourmet food from 6 at night to 6 in the morning. And these high rollers at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they were my best customers. And he came in with a date, no less. And Steve Sciarippa, who from Sopranos and now Blue Blood fame, was my doorman. He was going to UNLV because he was a big guy in a tuxedo. He looked good.
Yeah.
So this guy comes in. He's tipping everybody $100 bills. And we've seen it before in that kind of a club. And then he goes through a booth. And he was a hotel guest, so we know when they're comped. So we opened them up with a bottle of Cristal, a bottle of Louis XIII, some caviar. And so he was already $1,800. He was there 10 minutes. But they get into a fight with his girlfriend, and he breaks the Cristal bottle, and he sticks it in her face.
Oh.
And I called the front door.
Like
out
sticks
of the bar.
It or like holds it in front of her face?
No, stuck right in her face.
Oh, my
Thank God.
God
he missed her eye.
Jesus.
Not okay. No, no, no.
Not okay.
Not okay. Cool. Not cool.
So I call the front desk. I said, Steve, get over there. He said, I ain't going over there, man. That guy's nuts. I said, that's what I hired you for.
At least act like you're doing it.
Your job.
Yeah.
So now I go over, and I've had a way of handling certain things like that before, but nothing that dramatic. So I go over to the guy. I said, listen, obviously you're having a problem. You hear these sirens. Get out of here. They're coming for you. I don't want any trouble. Just walk out of here. I got to get this lady to the hospital. She's bleeding. And, I mean, she was bleeding. I mean, we all got cut shaving our leg or our face or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't stop bleeding.
Yeah, glass cuts.
What's the reaction of the customers in the restaurant?
Oh, my God. Everybody, you could hear a pin drop. We were packed. There's 180 people in the dining room. And so I didn't see he still had the bottle in his hand. So he goes to reach for the girl. I said, no, you ain't taking the girl with you. Get out of here now. And he goes for my neck. Fortunately, I'm agile enough. I back up, and he cuts me along my chin, right along my chin bone. Well, I'll tell you, the we're on radio, but I took 81 stitches to close it.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Wow. If you didn't take a step back, you'd be dead.
He would just cut my throat.
Yep.
But the interesting thing, I've been trained to, you know, try to divert the attention from these kind of people. Don't ask me why, but I did. And so I started yelling at the guy. I said, look what you did to my shirt. I waited 6 months for this shirt. And he's looking at me. He said, wait a minute. I just cut this guy's throat. He's worried about his shirt.
Yeah.
But I just needed a minute to get my hand on my gun because I was allowed to carry a gun. And I put the gun to his forehead. I said, now, here's your checking chance. Walk out the door or you're going out in a body bag. And he said, F you. I said, really? I put two right between his eyes. So now I'm looking at the guy. He has a hole in his head. Blood is running down his nose. And he's still looking at me. I made an immediate decision to get a bigger caliber gun. But I put the other two in his heart. And thank God he fell down. The big problem was, I didn't realize he was Pablo Escobar's underboss, Lorenzo Morales.
Jesus!
Which created a major problem.
Oopsie.
Oops. This is well documented, too. This is...
Wow.
So how long did he stand there looking at you with two holes in his head before you
said...
Well,
you know what it was? I asked the coroner, because obviously I went to the hospital to get closed up, and I didn't know he was dead yet, because that was another thing I learned. When the ambulances came, they took the most traumatized first. They took this bum before the girl, before me, and I'm saying, wait a minute. How about the girls? You know, we got to take the most traumatized because they don't know what was going on. They took his pulse. The guy was dead.
Yeah.
But they didn't say that. So they took him out. She went in the second ambulance. I went with Captain Coots from LAPD because he wanted to talk to me to get the story straight. And I spoke to him. I said, listen, he said, how did this happen? I said, well, the guy attacked the girl. Then he cut me. He attacked you first. I said, of course. And then he called the detectives on their radio saying, anybody that saw this, bring him down for questioning. So they wanted to documentate it. And that's how, you know, it was a 31-day inquest, and then they proved it self-defense.
Oh, man.
But, you know, it's crazy times.
You were never
charged. I mean, this, as you pointed, it's well documented in my book,
yeah.
Hollywood Godfather. It's, there's some other incidents in there. We don't want to give them away. But
it is really some book.
Man.
I mean, it's not too late to order it either for the holidays.
No.
Yeah, it's on Amazon right now. They got it on sale. And yeah. I also did the audiobook. It's a great Christmas gift.
Yeah, I like that you read the book. Because you have the voice to do it.
Exactly. Oh, right. Yeah.
A lot of times I'll buy, yeah, I'm an audiobook person, so I'll buy a book and then it's right. A little bit of a disappointment because of who they got to read it.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And if any of your audience buys the book, the next time I'm on, I'll tell you where to send it and I'll autograph it for you guys.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
You are the man. All right. Well, we'll talk to you in the new year. We're going to take a couple weeks off and Ashley, you'll be in touch and.
Oh, great.
Get you situated on the show here again on Mondays. And
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, it's our honor to have you on and hear these stories.
Right. And happy birthday again.
Yeah.
And thank you. And everybody out there, have a happy new year. And whatever you celebrate, whatever holiday it is.
Yes.
I really appreciate all of you.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Thank you, Gene.
And I'll see you at the Mohegan Sun soon.
Yes.
Awesome.
Let us know
now, now that we got the virus coming down.
Exactly. Right. Got
to
hang out.
All right. We're linked up to all things Gianni Russo at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Thank you, sir.